Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show. The Mark Hoke Show. Going bell to bell with the best in professional wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's get to all the exciting pro wrestling action and bring on the host. Here is Mark Hoke.
Oh, yeah, let's do this. Another hour of the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment here on the Mark Hoke Show. Very excited to have you all join us here. St. Patrick's Day, man. I didn't wear any green. At least I don't think I did. Oh, I'm thinking I'm Irish too. What am I doing, man? Getting up at 5 a.m. just doesn't work for me sometimes. I'm not thinking of that stuff. I'm just thinking pro wrestling, pro wrestling, pro wrestling. That's all I'm doing. I mean, I didn't even get like a green prime. I got the blue. I went all blue. God, my ancestors would be ashamed. But that's all right, because we're talking pro wrestling here on KDOM 101.5 FM. It is the talk of Las Vegas, and we are going to have a great time this hour because I am so excited whenever I get this guy on the show. He is one of my favorites. The guy is doing it all, and I didn't even know that Brad Gilmore has a band. This is crazy. Brad Gilmore from, of course, the Hall of Fame podcast and radio show. That is out there in Houston on 97.5 and 92.5. And, of course, you know, out there on all of your favorite podcast outlets. Brad, is there anything you don't do?
You know, man, I try to keep myself busy. When I was a kid, my grandmother would say, those who are bored are just bored with themselves. So I'm trying to never have an opportunity to be bored.
Yeah, there's no doubt, dude. My God.
How you doing, Mark? You know what? Here's the thing. You're Irish. I'm Irish. I show love for my heritage. You show nothing for your heritage.
Well, see, I'm German and Irish. So So what I have to do is I need to drink beer and whiskey.
You need to they should just sell them both in a can, you know what I mean, together, just for you.
Have you ever done one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, by the way?
I don't drink. I've never had a drop of alcohol in my life.
Really?
Actually.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. So I am actually probably not doing my heritage well either. There's no Guinness flowing in the Gilmore household. But I will tell you, I actually talk about this all the time in Las Vegas. When I get to Las Vegas, it always reminds me of it. Las Vegas is the only place I've ever seen where you're walking through the casinos and, you know, they have the little machines there, or like the little stands that have all the drinks you can get and snacks in the hotel, where they sell you a bag of chips that should cost $2 for $10. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have the only place I've ever seen this where they have a Coca-Cola can with Jack Daniel's whiskey in the can.
Yeah.
And it's Cobra. I've never seen that anywhere else. I point it out every time I'm there because it blows my mind.
Yeah, man.
It's like going somewhere and they're selling like a Red Bull, you know, with Grey Goose already in it. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense, but why is it not being done nationwide? I don't know.
We've got to be efficient out here. We've got to. It's the only way to do it. Can't waste time. We cannot time. Yeah, you know that. You've been to Vegas enough. You know there's not much time to blow.
No, and I'll be there in a couple weeks. We're going to come out for the Thurman fight. Booker and I are, so I'm excited.
Oh, my God. You are?
I'm going to be here. Yeah. 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 We will get in. We'll do the radio show live from Radio Row and, you know, enjoy the sights and scenes and the sounds of Sin City.
Man, we got to get you in the studio for one of the shows then.
Let's do it. I'm there. I'm going to be there. We'll talk. Make it happen.
Let's get that figured out. That'd be awesome. Yeah, because the last time I got to see you guys, everybody was wearing masks and we all looked stupid.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was COVID times, man.
Yeah.
COVID times.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
You know what I thought, though? I thought the masks did some people a lot of good. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. Like, you don't want to shave. Maybe you're going through some dental surgery. Maybe you're not, like, the prettiest person in the world. You know what I mean? Like, you or I didn't have that problem. But some people, you know, had that issue. They have maybe they're facially challenged, and then they're able to cover up half of it. You know, I'm sure they got swiped right a lot more on their favorite, you know, dating apps and things of that nature. So I'm just saying, it wasn't all bad.
Yeah. I still see people wearing masks on their dating apps. I have questions.
Yeah. The mask in the car is the one I never understood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got it. And here's the thing. Like, I understand the mask. I'm not judging anybody either way. But the mask in the car, I never understood. I never got it.
I didn't either.
Maybe they just forgot. Maybe they just forgot they had it on.
No, they didn't. You know that. You know that, Greg.
I don't know. I don't know. But, but I'm glad that we're past that era. And I'm glad that we can visit in person here shortly in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that'll be great. So, yeah, you guys are definitely coming down to the Aussie Studios. We're booking it. That's done.
It happen.
Well, you guys are making news. And I wanted to kick this off with that right now. I've been hyping it the whole show. So to remind everybody what happened, that apparently on March 12th at the NXT tapings, Booker T said that there was some sort of confrontation with the Exalted One, CM Punk, and it's got mentioned on your show. What was this confrontation? Because it has turned some people thought it was a fight, and Booker was like, this was nothing. What happened?
Okay, look, I can't, I wouldn't feel right telling somebody else's story, right? With and Booker, we're going to be live on the air tomorrow, you know, on the Hall of Fame on a 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow to address this, obviously, because, and Booker put it out on his Twitter account or his X account and said, it could have been over a banana. Here's the thing. Anybody who looks at the Hall of Fame or watches us or listens to us knows, like, Booker and I's dynamic is we like to laugh, joke, we rib one another, we play with one another. He says things that I guess because I've known him now for 12 years that I know when he's joking and I know when he's playing and I know when he's turning up a character. And I guess some people don't. This same exact thing happened with us, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe. With, I don't know if you remember the whole Corey Graves, I'm a run up on him on Starbucks situation.
But yeah,
we had said something similar where Booker was like, oh, I'm going to get Corey Graves. I'm put my hands on him. I'm not going to do it at the job, but if I see him at Starbucks, it's on or whatever. Obviously a joke. We played Macho Man, Randy Savage, Be a Man Hogan, which I actually have right behind me framed. Shout out to Whitney Collectibles for that. But I had that, but we were playing that in the music when that was going on, and people took it seriously. USA Today did a story on it. Forbes did a story on it about the issues between Booker T and Corey Graves. And when I saw that clip go out on social media, I go, oh, that's funny. Like, some people are going to get, have some fun with this. And then when I saw every wrestling news site report on it, and then people are asking around backstage and saying, oh, no, this Booker's lying. This never, this is a joke, guys. We play, we kid. You know, Booker and CM Punk have a very interesting relationship that dates back to before CM Punk was even in the WWE. CM Punk wrestled at Reality of Wrestling before he was even on ECW television. Like, they go way back. They hosted backstage together. Yes, at times, I, more so I think than Booker, have been critical of some of the things that CM Punk has done or said and how he's conducted himself as a businessman and as a professional. But all that is just, we do a topical radio show about what's going on, same like you in the world of professional wrestling. But sometimes jokes are jokes. The segment before that, we're talking about bull riding, you know what I mean, and the ridiculousness of rodeo clowns. Like, people, I understand that Booker commands a lot of respect for what he's done in the industry, and I understand that he is a legitimate tough guy, and I understand that, you know, he has a reputation of sometimes saying what's on his mind, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes he's just playing, and I'll let him tell the story if he wants to. But I will tell you, knowing what happened, it was so blown out of proportion, and a run-in, an encounter, a disagreement, a kerfuffle, all of those are not apt descriptions of what occurred, and there's nothing that occurred. I will say that. It's nothing, but it was... He didn't want to go into it on the air. He wanted to tell a funny anecdote to me privately, and then it blew up. A 22-second clip out of a 2-hour show. I'm sure you've experienced this before.
Yes.
Taken out of context, per the usual, by the internet. And what made me laugh even more is he said in the clip, I know the internet's probably going to pick this up and run with it, but I don't want them to do that. I mean, he even called it out, and then it happened anyway.
It's amazing how that goes. So he hit him with a Twinkie is what he did.
Yes. I mean, look, You know, so I went to the same junior high as Walter Cronkite. We went to the same junior high. And, you know, obviously he's probably a big alumnus for us. So there's a lot of talk of Cronkite. But when did we get to single source stories? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that's what the wrestling media does. They're single source stories. And sometimes, you know, they call around and try to get more information, but 99% of them just run with a headline to try to get some clickbait and try to make something happen. From all accounts that I have heard, and this is not from Booker, this is from I have many friends over in that company that I keep up with. CM Punk has been nothing but gracious and great since his return to the WWE. You know, the CM Punk that we saw in AEW, or at least heard about in AEW, seems to not be the same person who walked through the doors at the NXT Performance Center or backstage at the Allstate Arena at Survivor Series in November. He seems to be a changed individual, and or just maybe happier, or whatever the case might be. I'm glad that he's back in the WWE. And again, much to do about absolutely nothing. Work, you know the saying, they worked themselves into a shoot, brother.
They did. Well, congratulations. Good work.
Nice. Well, but the thing is, here's the thing. This is what's so funny, and I'm sure you experienced this too. That was not meant to generate headlines. It was not meant to be a big deal. It was meant as a, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to tell you something later, Brad. It's pretty funny, you know? And that was all it was supposed to be. It wasn't even like anything. Here's the thing about Booker and I. We actually, and some people might pick up on this from our show, to use a wrestling term, we call a lot of it in the ring, right? You know, we might have one phone call earlier in the day. You see anything you want to talk about? Didn't really see much. All right, we'll just figure it out when we get out there. Because we've had a rapport for a decade plus,
right,
we can do that, yeah, right? So I didn't even tell him I was going to bring up CM Punk. He didn't tell me to bring up CM Punk. I just saw a headline. Oh, CM Punk was at the tapings. Let me ask Booker, you know, if he talked to him or what CM Punk was doing there. And then next thing you know, it's everywhere. It's kind of funny. Well, same thing happened with Corey Graves. When I try to make things go viral,
it never works. It never works.
No.
It's amazing. Yeah, I've had throwaways like that that blow up too. But yeah, well, good for you, Brad.
It got some press, yeah, which is fine, which is cool. You know, I just want the people to know that the show, and we are live just like you are, and things come up live. We don't edit, we don't cut stuff out. You know, we just do it as it's done. And a lot of the time, stuff happens in the moment that we're not expecting. You know, like the tragic passing of Bray Wyatt happened live when we were on the air.
Yeah.
And I had to deliver that news to Booker. I mean, these are things that you don't expect to happen. And, you know, you run with them. And this was not anything I expected. I mean, millions of views this thing got online, which, you know, is great because I was looking good that day. But also, it was much to do about nothing.
Oh, Brad Gilmore, everybody, from Reality of Wrestling and the Hall of Fame podcast, working with Booker T there and looking very Irish today, by the way.
I'm in my green. This is a vintage Johnny Carson blazer, Johnny Carson collection blazer.
Nice.
This is my Irish shirt, and I have a Gilmore Media hat on that is not green, but I'll get one out to you.
Really? Wow, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll nice. Get one to you.
Yeah, we'll pop one on. Yeah, I got to get a little better lighting in the studio here. I'm going to have to see if I can get Odyssey to spring out a little bit of the budget.
Odyssey,
here.
Y'all got the money. Come on now.
Yeah.
Put some lights on them.
Yeah, we just fixed some situations with the Odyssey gang. So,
okay, good.
Give them some time. Give them good, some time good. There. Well, some other, I mean, there's obviously a ton of stuff going on, but yeah, we can get into it a little bit. I'm going to save The Rock for the next segment.
Okay.
Because that's a long discussion. How satisfied are you with the road to WrestleMania at this point? Before we dig into the things that Dwayne is doing, what are you feeling about how things are happening with the card for WrestleMania right now?
You know, every year that, you know what this card reminds me of on paper, you know, because I know a lot of people don't like WrestleMania 32 in general, the one in Dallas, 101,000 people. But I remember the build to that card when Seth Rollins goes down with injury. Cena's down with injury. This guy's down with injury. And you're like, man, how's this card going to come together? You know, what's going to happen? And when Punk went out with the injury, I was like, damn, man, that sucks. You know, and then you think, oh, it's going to be Rock and Roman in the main event. I started to get excited. And then obviously what happens, happens. But what I'm saying is I never know what to expect from the road to WrestleMania. And somehow I always end up satisfied with the card that we have. And this card so far on paper, I see all killer, no filler. Like, what's one match that's on this card that you don't think is going to be awesome? You can't find it. They're all great, from the top titles to the women's titles to the U.S. title and the IC title. I mean, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Logan Paul is a match I never thought that I would see. I never asked to see, but now that it's being given to me, I'm so excited to see because yeah. I know the level of performer those three guys are. Logan Paul, by every account, is way better than he has any right to be. Randy Orton has looked better with this 18-month layoff, and Kevin Owens has never lost a step. And when you look at Kevin Owens' WrestleMania career and you look at the matches that he's had a Hall of Fame WrestleMania career. Just Mania alone. Just go back and look at it. He's faced every top name in the business, going from Shane McMahon to Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan they faced. He faced Sammy in a one-on-one. He faced Chris Jericho, Stone Cold Steve Austin, main evented last year with the Usos and Sammy. And now, you know, he's going up against Logan Paul and Randy Orton. Randy Orton is surefire Hall of Famer. So, yeah, the road to the throne is long, as they say, but the road to WrestleMania is looking great. I love the card so far.
Yeah, it was funny because I was actually thinking, well, you know, it's the rest of the card's kind of getting eclipsed a little bit by everything that's happened with the four sure. R's. And then I thought, well, you know, let me go back and look at one that had a massive main event and see what the rest of the card looked like. So just for fun, I looked at WrestleMania 3 with Hogan and Andre. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know, there was some other good stuff on that card. And then I looked and I was like, it was Savage and Steamboat and the rest was some good names, but it was like, oh dear God, this was terrible. Well, I was like, there was Harley Race and Junkyard Dog was on there. And then I was like, this was built around Hogan and Andre. And that was I agree.
And the thing is, WrestleMania in the last maybe 10 years or so has become to where every match needs to be, oh my God, I can't believe this is going to be on the WrestleMania card. I'm so excited. Whereas before, when I was even a kid growing up, it's like you had matches like, and no disrespect to them because I love both these guys, but it's like you had the hardcore title between Maven and Goldust. And it's like, okay, cool. And it ended up being a good match, but it wasn't like, I can't believe we're getting the dream hardcore title match we've always wanted. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We wanted to be entertained. WrestleMania was always an entertainment show. And I think that they've actually kind of, it's still obviously a spectacle and insane. If you've never been to a WrestleMania, I strongly urge you to try to get to one because it is such a sensory overload.
It is.
But now it's less like, you don't have as many Liberace, Snoop Dogg, and Kim Kardashian moments as you used to have, right? Now if a celebrity is involved, it's like, oh, you got to wrestle. It's Johnny Knoxville. It's Bad Bunny. It's Logan Paul. You know, it's not, you know, what it used to be. And I kind of like when WrestleMania didn't have to have 20 killer matches over two nights and we could have a little fun. Like to me, WrestleMania 38, that first night, I think, is when they had Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. And I had as much fun with that match
as I did
with maybe anything else on the card. Yeah. You know, obviously Austin and KO was amazing. That's what I look forward to. I look forward to the over-the-topness of WrestleMania. So you're right. Go look at the WrestleMania 2000 card. You had the Triangle Ladder match. You had the main event, which was the Fatal 4-Way. And then what else do you remember from that show? It was a bunch of tag matches, hardcore battle royal, you know, like a cat fight, I think, was on the card. Like, come on now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to – and, you know, there's still a lot more to come on this WrestleMania, too. It is going to be – one spectacular evening in Philadelphia, to say the least. But we'll see if The Rock doesn't commandeer the rest of the road to WrestleMania. And we are going to talk about that when we come back here on The Mark Hoke Show on KDON with our very special guest. He's super special. He's awesome. Brad Gilmore from Reality of Wrestling and the Hall of Fame podcast. So stick around, everybody. We've got a whole lot more here in our second hour. on KDON. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back.
KDON.
This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Hey, let's get back to it here on the Mark Hoke Show, the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment on KDON 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas. Top-rated live show on this station because, well, simply put, I'm awesome. I'm just going to say it.
I agree.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Brad. Talk to me better than my daughter does.
How old's your daughter?
15.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. That's how it goes. Of course, we've got Brad Gilmore on from Reality of Wrestling, or it's one of the, if not the top independent promotion in the country, and you can check them out at realityofwrestling.com. You know, if you're down in the Houston area, go down to Texas City, Texas, and check out a card, or, of course, you can become a member of their YouTube channel for only $4.99. It's Reality of Wrestling. And, you know, of course, you can become a wrestler down there, too. They are cranking out some of the best talent in the country. Of course, Brian Keith, one of their recent graduates who just signed on with AEW. I'm sure you've seen Brian doing his thing. So anything with Reality Wrestling, you can laugh, you can cry, you can become a part, as they like to say in the movies, man. Right?
Yeah, and you know what's so crazy is we moved into a new arena back in maybe October or September. And since then, it's the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena. And I will tell you, this facility, when anybody stops in and sees it, they're always blown away by it because it is not like any independent promotion or wrestling school that you've ever seen. It's not. I mean, we have it professionally lit. We have, you know, room for 500 people. We just had our largest crowd. And this is meant to be television wrestling, right? Like studio style. So, you know, you've been to television studios. They're not the most spacious places in the world. We had north of 500 people here at our last stand, Rumble, standing room only at the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena. We sold out 3 weeks in advance of the show. And our next show is on April the 13th with a special guest match between the King of the Indies, Matt Cardona, and Kenny King, who's a Las Vegas resident.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be in an exhibition match at Reality of Wrestling. And I checked yesterday, we had like 3 tickets left to the show. We're about a month out. So we're doing really well down in Texas City, Texas, as of late. And I'm very impressed by what we're doing. And here's the thing too, is if you come to a Reality Wrestling show, you got to see us in Las Vegas, kind of in a different production setup for us. But if you come to a Reality Wrestling show at the Walker Texas Lawyer Arena, you're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to be impressed by the quality that we put out, because Booker, myself, Kevin Bernhardt, our director, Charmel, and so many people put so much time into this, and all of our wrestlers, our entire camera crew, we're training everybody. Everybody's learning. It's not just we're training wrestlers. No, commentary is being trained. Backstage interviewers are being trained. How to do an on-camera is being trained. The lighting guys, the camera guys, the audio. When to cue things. There's so much that goes into a Reality Wrestling show to where, and when you walk in, maybe another show, a different indie show, you walk in and the card, you know, starts at 7 and you're just kind of BSing until 6:30, and then you get your gear on and you maybe go over your match a little bit. This is like, as soon as you get there at call time, hey, here's your pre-tape. This is what time we need you. This is what time your meeting is with Booker. This is your match time. This is where you are in the car. This is what we need out of you. Here's the story. This is where you are today. This is where we want to go next month. This is where we're going 3 months down the line. So you have an idea of how to put a match together. It's really unlike anything on the independent circuit, which is why we almost don't even consider ourselves an independent. You know, we're like the AAA of professional wrestling. You come through us, you get your finishing touches before you get called to the show.
Very nice. Very, very nice, Brad. Yeah.
That was a good infomercial. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I just sold it real well.
I think you did. You just take that video clip and, you know, put it up on the website, man. You're done.
That's right.
That's for sure. Well, hopefully Matt Cardona is still going to be available after he just got flambéed this last night, by the way.
I saw that. Matt, come on, man. We got to get you down a row. Can't have you scarred up. I can't have you charred up. All right? Come on now.
He was put through a flaming table last night at Pro Wrestling Revolver, if he didn't see it. So
by Paul Walter Hauser and Bully Ray.
Yeah.
Dudley. So there you go.
Yeah. Not good. So might want to check around if you want to see that clip. So I want to talk about The Rock.
Gotcha.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
The Rock cut another 20-minute promo on SmackDown last night. There is no denying that this man is one of the most talented performers, celebrities on the planet right now. No doubt about it. Is The Rock overshadowing this, though, a little bit? Is he taking too much time? Is he kind of putting Roman Reigns in the background a little bit? Is he making Cody kind of look like a wuss a little bit too much? I'm torn on this because, you know, I love what the guy does. You know, I mean, there's no denying that he did his job. But at the same time, you know, there's some people that are saying, you know, he's taking too much time. He's, you know, it's cutting into, you know, other matches. You know, he was using profanity. Why are, you know, we can't do that. How are you feeling about some of this stuff from the side of the performers and everybody else at WWE that are kind of like, hey, you know, we're here too?
I think that if anybody who's backstage and maybe who's going to be featured on this WrestleMania card and is worried about the attention that The Rock is soaking up and maybe from them, I don't think they understand the big picture. Because The Rock, as you said, might be the most entertaining person in the history of professional wrestling on the microphone. You know, he's up there, and if you don't think he's number one, he is Mount Rushmore. I don't think there's any denying that. Yeah, you know, you can go Flair, you can go Dusty, but Rock's name's got to be mentioned as one of the greatest guys on the microphone of all time. Now, I also think heel Rock, that we're getting Hollywood Rock, has been the best thing that he's done for this company in the last, I don't know, since his last run with Cena for the title, right, in my opinion. Everybody is going to be watching WrestleMania this year who would normally watch WrestleMania. So many more people are going to watch WrestleMania because they want to see The Rock wrestle. He's a draw. You know, we say in wrestling, thanks for the house. You see these sellouts? Do you see, you know, the numbers on television? Do you see the social media numbers? They're through the roof, right? Now, is that all due to The Rock? Yeah. Yeah, it is. The sellouts are due to The Rock because WWE has been on fire. Everybody on this WrestleMania card deserves to be there. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. But what I'm saying is he is raising the visibility of this show. There's no doubt about it. He is raising the visibility of this show so that when that time does come on night one where he's going to be in that main event tag match, and you know he's going to be on night two, something's happening. Where he's going to be on night two. So, you know, when this happens, so many more people who wouldn't already be watching are going to be watching, which means more eyeballs are on people for the very first time. So how many more shirts can Rhea Ripley sell? How many more social media followers can the Usos get, for instance? How many people are going to be watching that, you know, Gunther versus Sami Zayn match that particularly might not have just tuned in at all? I understand the complaints, if there are any, but I would like to think that it is a vocal minority. And I get what you're saying too, but The Rock is a special talent. He's one of the biggest draws in the history of pro wrestling, and we don't have him forever, right? This is most likely going to be his last run, if not second to last. You know, he's going to be filming a movie right after WrestleMania wraps. He's going right into production, you know? So I think that we should acknowledge what he's actually doing and something that, by the way, he does not have to do. Does he have to come back? No. So why is he back? He's back because he loves the business. And the only part of this that what you brought up that I will agree with is that Roman Reigns does feel a little bit afterthought-y.
Yeah.
he does feel a little after. I've had that feeling too, where he doesn't feel as Roman Reignsy as he once did. And I, you know, the wrestling fan in me, we all probably think this is like, okay, is that intentional? Like, is they trying to set up something? And I still can't figure out what this is about. You know, when The Rock puts up this instead of this, and for the radio listeners, he like makes an L with his hand instead of just like the one that the Bloodline throws up. Have you thought about this? Have you noticed that?
Yeah. It could be what a loser. That? It could be a loser.
I think he's going to like turn it like that and then shoot Roman like with the finger gun. And yeah. Be like, your time's up.
Yeah. It's either that or he's just calling him a loser.
Or he's calling him a loser.
Yeah.
Something's going on. Cause you know, that's got to be intentional.
Yeah. One of them's turning on the other.
Something has to happen. One of them's turning on the other. Look, I don't want to book the show, but the main event of night one has to end with Cody and Seth going under. They have to lose that match. You're not going to tease the stipulation of Bloodline rules and not give it to us. You're not going to say, and if you don't win, you can never, you know, face for the title again and not throw every obstacle in his way. So they got to win on night one. So my thing is, what happens night two? Where does The Rock come into play in night two when it's Bloodline rules? Does he start doing something and then Roman shoves him off? And then, I don't know, something's going to happen, but they got to lose on night one, Cody and Seth.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's how that's going to go. And I have a feeling, what I'm wondering is, do they, Roman and Rock win night one and they cost Seth the world championship with a cash in from Damian Priest, that they beat him up that bad?
I like that. So you think, wait a minute. Are you saying that on night one, Seth loses the title at the end of the night?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Wow. I have not even considered that. That's kind of good. That's fun. So then you would think night two, the world title match would be Drew and... Do you think they do the world title match on night two? Or do they do it on night? They can't do it on night one. He can't wrestle in the same night, can he? I don't know. I don't know how they're going to structure that.
No, they, you know, either Seth's out or they make it a triple threat.
Interesting. That's interesting. Yeah. Well,
because Rock said he's going to cost him the title.
He did.
He said it a couple of times. So somehow Rock is going to cost him the title. So I have a feeling that there's going to be a cash in.
Cash in's a good way to do it. Beat the hell out of them and then cash in.
Mm-hmm. So you just have a massive, chaotic night at the end of night one where not only do they win, but Seth loses the title at the same time.
And you know what? I will tell you, man, Damian Priest, I would like him as a world champion.
I would too.
That guy's put in the best run of his career in the last year. Best run he's ever had.
You know, and I always liked the guy, even when he was in Ring of Honor as Punishment Martinez. Just there was something really special about the guy. And, you know, when he was doing the whole babyface run here in WWE, I was like, why are you guys making him a babyface and having him do babyface moves? It wasn't working. And then when they made him a bad guy, I'm like, thank you. Thank God.
But, you know, they made him a bad guy. They made him a bad guy, but it still wasn't clicking until the alignment with Edge. And then the Judgment Day, when they kicked Edge out of the group, I thought, oh, well, this is the end. This is about to be the mid-card group of the century. Like, they have no star power at the level of Edge anymore, right? And boy, was I wrong. I was so wrong. You know, him and Finn and Rhea and Dom, and now JD's getting a little rub from it. But they've all had the best runs of their careers, each one of them. Each one of them.
I mean, yep.
Finn's never been more important. Even I'm putting this over when he won the title for a day or whatever it was. Rhea's a bona fide mega star. And I think one of a couple of women who can claim that in all of professional wrestling. And then Dominic, biggest heel in the world.
Yep.
I mean, who gets a bigger reaction than Dominic? He's got the best gimmick ever, you know, because the people want to boo him just because they want to boo him loud because that's what you do. So, Damian Priest, to go back to it as a world champion, I would love to see him have a world champion run.
Yeah, and make it a serious run, too. I mean, and then you got Drew, of course, who's been just on an absolute roll.
Best work of his career, too.
Oh, just unbelievable what he's doing.
I will say with Drew, it's the best character he's ever portrayed.
Yeah.
Because Drew's always been good in the ring, especially when he came back and did the Rumble win in 2020 and all that. But as far as a character goes, this is the most interesting he's ever been, like by far. Most entertaining and interesting.
Oh, my God. I just thought of something, too. Could you imagine if CM Punk would cross, if that match, let's just say that match happens. Let's just say that Drew ends up wrestling Priest and CM Punk costs Drew McIntyre the championship.
That'd be good.
Oh,
that'd be good, man.
Somebody
Punk's, I don't know what his physical ability is right now, but he's got to be involved in the show somehow.
He could hit him with something, couldn't he? He's got a good arm.
He's got one. He's got one at least right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, just, or it's the old pull the foot, you know what I mean? Or something, something simple. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. That's why, I am excited for WrestleMania. How can you not be?
Right.
This is going to be the biggest. Are you going to be there? Are you going?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy it for the both of us.
Yeah. They had a limited amount of press credentials.
Yeah.
Very limited. So, yeah. So,
well, and you know why? Going. Because The Rock's on the card.
Yeah, thanks, Rock. Thanks, Rock. Never mind. More grudge match for me and Dwayne.
Yeah. What Wait, are you say? Not a Rock fan?
No, I am a Rock fan. No, I just kind of had a problem at the beginning with how all this happened in the first place. I just think the way he kind of slid into this and got into the story. I felt like he kind of tried to interrupt it. And it's kind of hard to explain like right off the top of my head, because I've gone through the story about 18 times, but I just felt like, you know, he stuck his nose in and said, hey, you know what? We're just going to do me and Roman, when everybody wanted Cody and Roman. And we were planning for this for 2 years, and then all of a sudden it was, hey, we're going to do this instead, out of the blue. And to their credit, they changed course after they realized this isn't what the people wanted. And, you know, and then they had that promo where he did the thing where he said, well, Cody didn't deserve it. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And I hated that promo. That was the one promo of all this that I was sitting there saying to myself, this doesn't fit. The rest of it was okay. You know, I think that they did a nice job rewriting everything. But that one, when they did that, I said, no, that what did Cody lost like two matches all year, and one was a tag match. So what are you talking about? So I just felt like it was a really weird way to go about doing things after you've been building a story for 2 years that The Rock shows up, gets his contract with TKO, and all of a sudden everything gets blown to shreds. So
no, I get it. I mean, I guess though, if you're The Rock, it's just one of those timing things, right? Like, if you're The Rock and everyone's been telling you for 4 or 5 years, the only match we want to see is Rock versus Roman. And then you're like, okay, let's do it. Like, I'm ready. Let's freaking do it. WrestleMania 40, biggest main event of all time. But there's this Cody Rhodes story that went unfinished. Like, the thing is, if they would have taken the title off of Cody, I just wonder, if they took the title off of Roman at 39, would the interest for Roman Rock still be there? Was the interest with him as the champion? And then, I don't know. There's so many things you could play what if all over. But I love that The Rock is here, because I'm just such a big fan of The Rock. You know, he's on my Mount Rushmore. And growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, when there was no one bigger than Dwayne Johnson for me, you know, it's fun to see. And, you know, I think I may have told this story. I told the story on the show where I met The Rock last year. Did I tell that story?
Yeah.
And so to meet the man and shake his hand, and for him to be so gracious, you know, it's great to see him back in pro wrestling, man. I've always wanted to see him wrestle live, and so I'm going to get that opportunity. And who would have thought in 3 years' time I would have seen Stone Cold and The Rock wrestle at WrestleMania? This is insane.
That is pretty insane. Ridiculous. Well, I'm still mad he beat Hogan at 18, so I'm holding it against him.
I hear you.
We have to take a break, Brad. You know how that is. But
I do.
When we come back, we've got a little bit more time with Brad Gilmore here from Reality of Wrestling. And I know he's got a ton of stuff going on, and we got a couple more things to fire at him before we let him out of here. So stick around, everybody, here on The Mark Hoke Show on KDON 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas. We're having a great time with the best in pro wrestling news and entertainment. We will be right back.
...101.5 FM, KDON.
You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
All right, all you kids out there, we got the final segment of The Mark Hoke Show coming up to you on KDON, 101.5 FM, the talk of Las Vegas. And I got to give a shout out to the best photographer in pro wrestling, Scoops, out there listening to us. Saw him in the chat box. I want to say hi to Scoop. Brad, you guys, I don't know if you've ever had Scoop down doing one of your events in Texas, but you should hire him. He is simply the best, period.
Simply the best.
He is. Well, I get a little singing in. Hey,
what a great song.
Yeah, pretty good. Tina Turner. She's the one. Yeah, she's the one that sang that, by the way.
Tina Turner did sing that song.
Yeah,
yes.
not you.
No, I
got you. Anyway,
you did.
Yeah, but well, hey, by the way, you have a band, right?
Yes, I do. You know what? I do. It's called the name of the band is 2011, the two words. And I wanted to bring it up on the show because we've been together since 2000 and I don't know, 6 maybe. But we took a long hiatus, and this last September we put out our first album in a decade. And here's what this is why I think the wrestling people will like it, and I'll tell you why. Because wrestling has always informed every aspect of my life, even in music. I mean, even back in the day, we had a song called Lost My Smile, and it came from the Shawn Michaels promo, right? Like, I've always had influences of pro wrestling in the music. And we were putting this album together, and it's called Happiness, et cetera, and that's the name of the album. And we were trying to think about, like, how can we make this concept and all the songs go together? And then we're like, maybe we should have somebody narrate the album. And then we're like, well, who can narrate the album? And I was like, who is somebody I know who's been through the life stages, who's been in the lowest you can go and the highest you can go and everywhere in between, who would bring that gravitas to the project? And there was one name that came to mind, my broadcast partner there, Booker T. And I called Booker and I said, hey, Book, we're doing this album. Would you narrate the album? And he said, yes. So you can go hear that right now. It's called Happiness, Sadness, Etc. by 2011 with Booker T. is on several of the songs narrating the album and the story and the narrative of the album. So I just want to shout out. There's something on there for everybody. It's hip hop. It's R&B. It's a little rock influence. There's some country ballad vibes. There's even spoken word poetry on the album. Like, it's all over the place. And I just think if you give it a listen, you'll find a record that you like.
Very cool. We'll have to check that out. Send me a link.
Because that's how I got into pro wrestling. I got into pro wrestling from music. I mean, I was this huge hip hop head that was hosting a radio show in Houston about hip hop. And then, you know, I saw a tweet one day that said, looking for an announcer for my wrestling company, send in your resume. And because I had a little radio background, they gave me a shot at Reality of Wrestling, and, you know, the rest is history.
Well, that is awesome. Very good story, Brad. Nice job.
Hey, man. So, yeah, definitely check that out.
That definitely will. Everybody out there, make sure you check it out. 2011, you said, correct?
2011, Happiness, Sadness, Etc. is the name of the album.
Very nice. Well, you've also got the collection with Brad Gilmore podcast too, right?
Yeah, man. I really want people to check this out because, again, you and I, Mark, know each other through wrestling. And a lot of people know me through wrestling, but my interests are so varied. You know, I mean, I've written books about Back to the Future and James Bond. I love, you know, the entertainment of all aspects, and I'm willing to have a conversation with anybody. And what I started to get to do when you have a platform like you do or I do, you get sometimes offers of like, hey, do you want this such and such on your radio show? Or do you want such and such on your television segment that I host here in Houston on the CW39? And over the last couple of years, I've done a couple of hundred interviews with names that, you know, everybody would know, whether it's, you know, Mark Wahlberg, Jimmy Fallon, Jay Leno, Matthew McConaughey, Kelly Ripa, Malcolm McDowell, Hilary Swank recently was on the show. and Dr. Phil, Bill Maher, even Eric Roberts, Cedric the Entertainer, Darren Aronofsky, who directed The Wrestler. I've had all these conversations, and I wanted to put them in one central place to where people could have them, because, you know, some people collect stamps and what, flags or shot glasses or whatever. People have weird collections, right? My collections are conversations. That's what I collect. And that's what the Collection Podcast is. So you can go on there and find, like I said, I think we're getting close to 300 interviews. I've already done 35 this year. And you'll hear from everybody, and you'll find something that you like. And I'll always find a way to weave pro wrestling into it if I can, or, you know, some Back to the Future talk if I can as well.
Very nice. Well, Brad, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And, of course, you can find Brad on X at Brad Gilmore. And, of course, realityofwrestling.com. Just get on over there. And if you haven't seen any reality wrestling shows, that's where to check them out if you're not in the Houston, Texas area. Brad, thank you again. And I will get in touch and get this thing set up when you're coming into the Las Vegas, my friend.
Yes, we will do it, Mark. Thanks for having me, and good to see you as always.
Absolutely. Brad Gilmore, everybody. And thank you, everybody, for joining us on The Mark Hoke Show. Guys, we will see you next week. Follow us on X at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, YouTube, The Mark Hoke Show. It's pretty simple, kids. The Mark Hoke Show. Just look us up and find us all on our social media platforms and website. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great day, Las Vegas. Be safe out there on St. Patrick's Day. We'll see you next week.
Want more of The Mark Hoke Show? Follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, like us on Facebook at The Mark Hoke Show, and visit MarkHokeShow.com to keep up with everything happening with the show. And remember to check out all of our archive shows on YouTube at The Mark Hoke Show, and download our podcasts at MarkHokeShow.podbean.com and all your favorite podcast outlets. So join The Mark Hoke Show family today, and thanks for listening.